Well, Lord, we do love you, and we thank you and praise you for this beautiful day you've given us. Father, as we come together, we feel your presence in a powerful way. Dear God, we lift up this service to you and the words that will be spoken. We pray, Lord, that they will be for your glory and to win souls. Thank you for the lovely volunteers who've come down to help serve in your name. What a wonderful feeling to know that we're all serving the same boss. Thank you, Lord. May everything we do be pleasing to you today. Lord, speak through Bill as he gives your word. Use this man, Lord, in a powerful way. Your servant to the Most High God. Father, we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and glory. Thank you for the food. We ask you to bless it. And all the things that are going to be given away in your name, Lord, we thank you for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bill?
Good morning, Jesus Said Ministries. Welcome to everyone in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm glad you're all here. Now, why am I here? You know, in Hebrews 10:25, it says that we're to urge one another on to faith and good works. We're here to urge one another on. If you read it in the NIV, it says we're to spur one another on into faith and good works. Now, if you know how people train horses and ride horses, they take spurs sometimes and stick them in their sides to get them to pay attention. I hope to stick some spurs in your sides this morning and make you think about a few things that might compel you toward my Lord and Savior. We're all on a journey here. We're all passing through this life, and this life is temporal. It's going to pass away. And then what? Are you prepared for what happens next? And that's what we want to talk about. So, as I was getting ready to preach this month, I just kept saying, Lord, what would you have me to preach on? I've been preaching here a long time, and you've heard a lot of different messages from me, but what could I tell you that might be a little bit different today, that might make you think a little more, that might challenge you a little bit differently, that might make you want to consider my Lord and Savior? So what the Lord laid on my heart is, why would I want to be a Christian? Boy, that was hard for me to do because I had to turn the clock back a lot of years when I was pondering that question and coming to that conclusion. And it's a question that I hope every one of you, as you sit at your tables this morning, ask yourself, why would you want to be a Christian? And I hope as we go through this today that some of these answers might speak to your heart and give you some guidance and direction. And as a result, maybe today will be the day you say, I want to try that. I've been trying a lot of things for a long time that haven't worked for me, so why not? Why not? If I know that my way isn't working, maybe somebody else's way might. So what are we going to cover in today's message? I'm going to give you the 10 reasons in my life which has led me to be a Christian. Going to go through them really fast, so you know, we won't be here until past 1:30, 2 o'clock, I promise. And then after that, I'm going to give you what are the 23 effects of putting God's Word first in your life. I mean, again, I'm sitting in church and I'm asking the Lord, Lord, I got to have a message for Jesus Said at the end of the month. What would you have me to speak on? What would you have me to talk on? And I'm just sitting there writing on my bulletin and I'm making notes. And it blew my mind that I could come up with 10 ways in my own mind as to why I want to become a Christian. And 23 effects of putting God's Word first in my life. What would happen if you put God's Word first in your life? How would that change you? How would that transform you? How would you look as a result? What would be different? And if that speaks to you, then the end result is you're going to take the information and you're either going to reject it, or it's going to transform you. It's going to encourage you. It's going to spur you on to faith and good works. So Lord God, I just thank you for this opportunity to minister to this congregation, Lord. I thank you for every person, God, that you found a way of getting them here today. Lord, through friends, through circumstances, through events in their life, they've been led this day to Jesus Said Ministries in Akron, Ohio. And they're falling under the influence of the Holy Spirit and hopefully hearing my voice, but not my voice, Lord, but your voice that would speak to their hearts and draw them closer to you. Please, Lord, do this work in these people today and in my heart too. May I always obey. In Jesus' holy name, amen. So when I go to the 10 reasons, the first one that jumped out to me is I wanted the answers to life. Why was I born? Why are we here? What is my purpose? Why do we die? What happens after life? And I wanted to live forever. I mean, as I was growing up, my number one fear was my mom would die or my dad would die. Why do we have funerals? What is this all about? That scared me as a child. And I didn't like not having any answers to that. That drove me crazy. It's like, could this be all it's about? You just live a short life and then you die? And some people die young and some people die old? That really bothered me. So I wanted an answer to that. Let me tell you, as I talk about these 10 reasons to become a Christian, and then the 23 effects of putting God's Word first in your heart, that is, if you study the Bible, every question I put up here is found an answer in God's holy word. Every one of them. The second one that jumped out at me is I wanted to understand this world. Why do billions of gallons of water dump into the ocean and yet the ocean never overflows? How's that possible? Billions of gallons of water dump in the ocean and it never overflows. I think about that, you know, you get in one of those intelligent conversations. Do you guys know that all the streams flow into the rivers and all the rivers flow into the lakes and all the lakes flow into the ocean? Well, how come it is the ocean never overflows? And somebody will say, well, that's easy. It's called evaporation. Okay. But then I only got one question. When all that happens, how come that stream at the top of that mountain 3,000 miles is still flowing full of water? And that water is still going down into that ocean. And somehow, how does it get from the bottom of the ocean all the way back up to the top of that mountain in that stream? Something's going on. Something's weird there. So it's like, it's almost like there's intelligent design that somebody had a plan to make all that work. Then I start thinking about stars hung in the sky and man, the earth, it's a perfect distance from the sun. Do you realize that if the earth was just a couple feet closer to the sun, that the earth would burn up? The earth would burn up because the sun is so hot, it would scorch it and we would die. But something is miraculously holding that earth the perfect distance from the sun. And what happened if that earth pulled away just a few feet from that sun from where it's being hung today? Everything would freeze. There wouldn't be enough heat to keep the earth going. Wow. I wanted answers to those kind of questions. You know, and then I look up at the starry nights that we've had in Ohio lately, and it's like, who put that little dipper up there? And who put that big dipper up there? And, oh my gosh, 2,000 years ago, there's a special star that showed up that people still talk about, the Bethlehem star. Who hung that over top of that manger that allowed that little baby to be placed there and bring hope into this world? Where do the mountains come from? And who put all that beautiful color and life into the bottom of the ocean? If you ever get to go snorkeling or diving, the amount of life below the ocean and the beauty is phenomenal. How did it get there? You know, you go outside, and I want you to think about this. You look at the absolute tallest tree you can find. The tallest tree you can find. And it blows my mind that the only way that tree stays alive is that somehow it draws from that endless water supply that never dries up in the earth, even when it doesn't rain for days on end. And that tree, with that leaf at the absolute top of that tree, somehow gets a drop of water to keep it alive. How does that happen? You know, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, the Bible teaches us that because you can look around at God's amazing creation, man is without excuse. That you should realize that there is a creator, that somebody made this place, and that it is intelligent design, and we need that a relationship with that designer. We need that, my friends. Then you get into the human body itself. Oh my gosh, it's complex, bones, blood, DNA. They're all working together to give our senses so that we can walk, we can talk, we can hear, we can smell, we can feel, we can interact with each other. And it's really hard if we just lose one of those senses, if we don't have one of those senses. But shouldn't we also have a God sense that helps us to think about that? I mean, when you stop and think about all the illnesses that people in this very room have had and been diagnosed with, our human bodies are so complex, it's amazing. And yet, through all that, God does amazing things. Fourth reason I came up with myself is I want to see my children, my wife, my friends, my family, well after this lifetime. And I wanted to know how that would be possible. I don't want to fear death, but embrace it when the right time comes. I mean, why should I fear death if I know my Creator and know where I'm going and know that I'm not dying? I'm crossing over. I'm beginning my eternal relationship instead of this temporal one that I'm on earth as a training grounds to get prepared for. Hopefully that makes some sense and resonates a little bit. How about that one? Number five that came into my mind. If there's such a place as heaven, if there's pearly gates and golden streets and crystal seas, I want to see that. That would be awesome. And when God says He's creating a new heaven and a new earth, and it's going to be way more beautiful than we could think or imagine, I want that. And obviously you got the opposite. I don't want to go to that other place. Where's that other place? Oh, doesn't sound like a good place. And you know what? Nobody likes to talk about that. Nobody likes to admit it's real. Nobody wants to think that a loving God would send somebody there. But God, our loving God, doesn't. He offers you a relationship with Him and says, come and know me. Come and serve me. And if you do that, you never have to fear hell. But if you choose to reject the one that He made for you and allowed to die for your sins, then you're sending yourself to hell. So I want to be a real person, not a fake, a fraud, or a hypocrite. I hope that if you see me 5 years from now, and it's 500 miles from here, that I'm not going to be any different a person than you saw what Jesus said this morning. I'm not going to play games. I'm going to be real. I'm going to be sincere. I'm going to be just as honest as the day is long. I don't have any skeletons in my closet. I want to be real. I don't want to be a fake or a fraud. Are any of you guys faking it? Are any of you guys here making people think you're one person when you're really not? You know, with my church friends, I'm going to be goody two-shoes. I'm with my party friends, I'm going to be the party animal of the month. It's like, it shouldn't work that way. We should be the same person all the time. And then the seventh thing that came to my mind is I don't want to worry about being good enough and if I can make the scale tip in my favor. Gosh, that's really rough to think, okay, did I do enough good things this week so that, man, if I die, I'm over here and I'm going to go to heaven? Oh, I had a bad week. Didn't read my Bible, didn't pray, didn't help anybody. Might have even cursed once this week. Oh man, this scale's getting kind of heavy over here and might be tipping the wrong way and I might not get to heaven. I don't want that. I love the fact that God says that it's not dependent upon good works, but faith in Him and trust in Him. And my righteousness is as filthy rags, and I'll never be good enough for Him. But if I put Jesus in my heart, His righteousness is good enough for God all the time. So the verse that I wanted to focus on with these top 10 or whatever and make you think a little bit is in Romans chapter 3. And the message is said, the God setting things right that we read about has become Jesus setting things right for us. So when we read the Bible, God's trying to teach us about Jesus and make things right for us. And not only for us, but for everyone who believes in Him. So if you're believing in Jesus this morning, you can make things right with God. For there is no difference between us and them in this. Since we've compiled this long and sorry record as sinners, both us and them, and proved we are utterly incapable of living the glorious lives God wills for us, God did this for us. That means it's impossible for you on your own to live a good life that would please God. It's impossible. But if you took Jesus into your heart, He's saying that He's making it possible for you and that you can do this. And that's what we're trying to do. Out of sheer generosity, He put us in right standing with Himself, a pure gift. He got us out of the mess we're in and restored us to where He always wanted us to be. And He did it by the means of Jesus Christ. So things I want you to understand is it's a pure gift that only God gives. He got us out of a mess. We're all in a mess without Christ. We're all headed to destruction without Christ. We have no hope, we have no future, we have no tomorrow without Christ. And you're on a path you don't want to be on. So God sets the record straight. He sent Jesus to the cross for us. He let Him die for us. And He says He got us out of this mess and He put us back in a place of safety. If you choose to continue to remain and abide in that place of safety. But it's up to you. Number 8, I wanted to be tied into a power source that gives me strength and helps me live right. I can't do this on my own. I need a resource that gives me power and strength. There's a Bible verse in Hebrews chapter 4 that talks about that. In chapter 4, it says, God means what He says. What He says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it no matter what. You see that? You wonder sometimes why you go through some of the hardest circumstances in your life. God's saying He's going to take a scalpel to you. He's going to lay you wide open until you realize this is what you need. And then He's going to put you back together again. So when you're going through those challenges, you stop and think about it. God's not trying to destroy you. God's not trying to kill you. He's trying to get your attention and give you a chance to make your life right and set the record straight. Number 9 that came to me is, I want to leave a legacy and know that my life here on earth really matters. How many people, you go to a funeral and there's 3 cars at the funeral? I mean, it's like there's nobody there. It's like that life never mattered. That person never touched anybody. That person never had an influence. In my own life, I wanted to make a difference. In my own life, I wanted to help people. I wanted to let people know about Jesus and let them know about His love. And then that, I'm going to throw in 10A. 10A came to me this morning. Because 10B is going to be when we're starting into the 23 reasons we want to put Scripture first in our life. But 10A is, I don't want to go through this life alone. Man, when I am struggling, when I'm having problems, when I can't understand what's going on and what's wrong, the ability to communicate with God, the ability to pray, the ability to know that I have somebody that sympathizes with my weaknesses and is willing to communicate with me. I mean, I travel a good bit for business, and it's amazing. I'm up 30,000 feet, 40,000 feet in the sky, and I'm looking down, and it's like, if that's my house, I can't even recognize it because I'm 40,000 feet away. And all of a sudden, I start feeling this insignificance, that I'm so insignificant in God's eyes because I'm just this little speck from His seat and what He's looking at. But yet, in spite of the fact that I'm just this little speck, He knows the number of hairs on my head. He knows my name. He knows my fears. He knows my weaknesses. And He wants to have a relationship with me. And I don't have to go through this life alone if I ask Jesus into my heart. So the 10th reason I wanted to be a Christian is I want to read the Bible and understand it. You know, there's people that aren't Christians and they read the Bible and they say, I just can't get nothing out of that book. Well, that's because you don't have the Holy Spirit in your heart helping you interpret it. If you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, all of a sudden it opens up those words and bring those words to life on the page. And now all of a sudden they have more meaning than you could have imagined. But if you didn't let the Holy Spirit help you with that, you're just stumbling through and the words are just, they might as well be a comic book to you. So when I talk about what are the 23 effects of putting God's Word first in your life, again, I didn't plan on coming up with 23. I just started writing and they just kept coming. And we'll see how many of them we get through. Maybe we'll get through all of them. First one was you get to know and understand God's Word and be set free by it. In Psalm 19, it says, there's more. God's Word warns us of danger and directs us to hidden treasure. Otherwise, how will you find our way or know when we play the fool? Clean the slate, God, so we can start the day fresh. Keep me from stupid sins, from thinking I can take over your work. Then I can start this day sunwashed, scrubbed, clean of the grime of sin. These are the words in my mouth. These are what I chew on and pray. Accept them when I place them on the morning altar, O God, my altar rock, God, priest of my altar. God's word will be understood to us and transform us if we let the Holy Spirit work through us to do it. And of course, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. So that's what it means to be set free by God's word when we study it. Second thing that jumped out at me is it brings about obedience in your life of good living. If you study God's word, you're on a path of obedience. You should be in a continual state of being perfected and changed. I got a newsflash for you. There's not a perfect person in this room. We've all sinned. We've all fell short of the glory of God. And in spite of my greatest desires to live for Him, I'm going to sin again. I'm going to make mistakes again. But the bottom line is, if I'm studying God's Word, I'm going to continue to draw into obedience and want to live for Him. In Romans 7:14, it talks about that. It says, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, and what I hate, I do. And if I do what I want to do, I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. In other words, the scripture is showing me that I'm a sinner, that I make mistakes, that I mess up on a continuous basis, and I need to understand that. That's what the law, the word of God, does. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. And here's our prayer. Lord, flush this out of me so I can become more like you. Less of me and more of you. Cause me to choose the good and not the evil. That's the purpose of consuming the Word of God and consuming the bread of life. And number three, reading it allows you to be led and protected by it in the Holy Spirit. Don't you want to be led and protected by the Holy Spirit? In Psalm 91, I love it. It says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. Being protected by God is the best defense that any one person can have. I've been in situations in my own life that it's like, this isn't going to end well for me. And somehow that situation just gets diffused. The circumstances changed. The person put the knife away. The person no longer wants to fight. It's obvious to me, I got angels standing around me that he doesn't want to mess with. And I feel pretty good about that. But you don't get that kind of blessing unless you're living a life that glorifies God. Fourth reason that putting God's first in my life was important is it causes me to follow after the author. In Psalm 119, it says, teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees that I may follow it to the end. We want to follow the author. And again, if we subject ourselves to God's word in Psalm 119, he says he'll teach us. And he'll help us follow it to the end. Something we want to do. Number five, it's studying it reveals the answers to all my above questions and concerns. I want answers to all those questions and concerns. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, Anybody know? It says, study to show yourself approved. Study to show God you're approved by Him. A ready workman of God. Ready, meaning if somebody comes up and asks me a question, I don't know. I don't have any idea. Doesn't make any sense to me. A workman that need not be ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of being a Christian. With my dying breath, I'll confess Jesus Christ as Lord. So I study to show myself approved, a ready workman of God, one that need not be ashamed. And here's an important part that adds on to the end of that verse. I do all of that, and it says, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, the key is that we know God's word. So somebody comes up and they tell us something like, well, you know, the Bible says, give a man a fish, feed him for a day. Teach a man a fish, feed him for a lifetime. And I have people come up and tell me stuff like that. And I say, could you please show that to me in God's word? It's a great Chinese proverb, but you won't find it in Scripture. We've got to know and rightly divide God's word and know what's Scripture and what's not. And the only way you're going to do that is if you study to show yourself approved. It strengthens us and helps me maintain my commitment to it. I get my strength from studying God's word. In Isaiah 41, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. God wants to strengthen you. He wants to help you. He wants to uphold you. He wants to take away your fear. But if you're not plugged into the vine, if you're not plugged into that life source, guess what? You're not feeding on that resource to give you that you need to survive. I can keep it in my heart to help me at all times. Simple Psalm, Psalm 111 or 119:11. I've hidden God's word in my heart that I might not sin against Him. I hide God's word in my heart because I need it there when the enemy comes to me and starts lying to me and telling me I'm a failure. That I don't amount to nothing. That I'm worthless. That I should just kill myself. It doesn't matter. You know, God doesn't love you. No, I've hidden God's word in my heart and I know better. Number 8. I can use it to stand fast when the enemy crosses my path. You know, the Bible teaches me that the enemy's going to come after me. And I have the ability to stand fast. The Bible says in James, resist the devil. And it doesn't say, and then you have to run from him. Boy, you put that word of God out there, it says resist the devil and the devil will flee from you. The devil doesn't like hanging around Christians. He doesn't like God's word. So if you don't want the devil to influence your life, spend more time in God's word and you'll spend less time running from the devil or worrying about all the things that are messing you up. Number 9, I hold to it to bring about victory in my life. In 2 Thessalonians 2, it says, so then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. You got to stand firm and you got to hold fast. You know, when we all have those questions, we all have those challenges, but when they come, we can't quit. We can't give up. We stand our ground. We hunker down and say, I will not be moved. He is my rock and my strength and my fortress. And He'll be here for me. Number 10, it instills trust in me for my Creator when I face challenges that we're called to trust and obey. Guys, I'm just getting started here relative to these 23 and I didn't know how far I'd go. So I'm going to give you the top 10. And I got to tell you, when I went through the top 10, that I would hope it would speak to your heart and you'd know that there's a lot more opportunity here and a lot of benefits from going into God's Word. A lot of benefits. But I want to jump to the end. So do we just deny all of this? And if we deny all of this, how will it end? How will it end? If we deny this, there's two options as to how it would end. The first one is, we got God in our life. We have the benefits of the fruits of the Spirit. If we have God in our life and the benefits of the fruits of the Spirit, It says, but what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. Serenity is peace. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in our heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. Among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting their own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessities is killed off for good and crucified. It's saying we're going to get the fruits of the Spirit. We're going to get love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and meekness and self-control. We're going to get all these benefits in our life if we ask Jesus into our hearts and we live in accordance to His Word. But the other option is, you know what? You didn't choose to do that. What happens then? Friends, everyone in this room is going to die someday unless the Lord comes first. My Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, I saw a great white throne and the one enthroned. Meaning, there is a great white throne, which is known as the throne of judgment. There's a King of Kings sitting on that throne named Jesus Christ. And He knows every single detail about your life. He knows every mistake you ever made. He knows every sin you ever committed. He knows how many times you GD'd His name. You JC'd His name. He knows everything. But He also knows, was there a day that you bowed your knee and you prayed and said, I don't want to do it your way, my way anymore, Lord, I'm going to try your way. And He recorded your name in the book of life. If He did that, then when you stand before this great white throne, it'll end well for you. But if you didn't, the Bible says nothing can stand before or against the presence. Nothing in heaven, nothing on earth. And they all saw all the dead, great and small, standing there before the throne. The books were open. There's that book. Then another book was opened, the book of life. And He's going through that book and He's looking for, is Sam in there? Is Jerry in there? Is Mike in there? Is Javon in there? Did I write their names in that book or were they just playing games with me? The dead were judged by what was written in the books, by the way they had lived. Sea released its dead. Death and hell turned into their dead. Each man and woman were judged by the way he or she had lived. Then death and hell were hurled into the lake of fire. This is the second death, lake fire. Anyone whose name was not found inscribed in the book of life was hurled into the lake of fire to be burned for eternity. Wow. I think that was like my seventh reason why I wanted to become a Christian. So guys, in my life, I've carefully considered why I want to be a Christian. And how the Word of God could impact my life. Have you done that same thing? Have you considered what I'm talking to you about? For me, it was a no-brainer. It's a logical, desired, intelligent decision. But now it's your turn. What are you going to do about it with this information? What are you going to do about it? Just going to sit here and race up and get the food and the clothes? Guys, there's going to be enough food and clothes left when we're done. What's your decision going to be? Do you want to continue to struggle and head down this path of destruction? Your option is, according to 2 Corinthians 6, in the time of my favor I heard you, in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. God is ready to release you from your spirit of bondage and set you free as a new creation in Him today. But I can't do it for you. I can't drag you up to this altar. I can't make you give your heart to Jesus. But I can just pray for you and ask you to consider these words. So in Joshua 24 it says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable for you, then choose for yourselves this day who you will serve. You don't want to do this? I can't make you. I can't make you. It seems undesirable for you. Forget everything I just told you. But understand, I'll never see you when I get to heaven. You won't be there. Or we can spend an eternity together. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of your Amorites in whose land you are living. In other words, it doesn't matter who your mom served or your grandpa served or your great-grandfather served. It matters what you do and what you choose. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Who in this room, by saying amen, will serve the Lord today? All right, guys, the rest is on you. We're going to pray. And we're going to open up this altar, and there's people that want to pray for you. There's somebody in this room that needed to consider this. There's somebody in this room that needs to, the next thing they need to do is walk down here and let somebody pray for you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God's been working on you for a long, long time, and you've been running from Him. Your life's a mess. You've considered ending it. It hasn't worked well for you. And Jesus wants to turn that all around and set you on a new path this morning. But it's up to you. Lord, we thank you for your love and we thank you for your message. God, you're serious with us. You mean business with us. You love us. You made us. You created us. You knew us before we spoke our first word or had our first breath. And you continue to give us life for one purpose. To come to know you and to serve you. To know the one that made us. To know the one that can set us free. To know the one that can give us a hope and a future. And that we no longer have to worry about death. We can face death face on and say, it's not death, it's the beginning of life. Lord, move amongst your people. May the stubbornness be laid down. And God, may your spirit rise up and say, today is the day of salvation. I got it. I want it. I need it. I'm tired. I hurt. I cry every night. Why can't I have the peace that passes understanding and sleep well tonight? You can, my friend. Come in Jesus' name. Amen.